We're starting with Sofar's second speech. We already heard from Eliphaz and Eov. Again, this second round of talks is almost like the blame is totally on Eov. We already said that Eliphaz took one look at Eov and said, you know what, now I see you're totally a Rasha. I had my doubts before, I wasn't sure, but you must be a complete and utter Rasha, because see what's coming out of your mouth now that these things are happening to you. We're going to see.
Are we having any more new confusion? Like, I feel like it's just like the same thing.
You're you know, bad. No, I'm it not. Sounds you're that bad. Way. No, it does sound that way. We're going to see, not this time around, but right after Sofar's speech. Sofar's speech is going to be interesting. There's one little thing over here, in which he says, I'm so agitated that I'm going to tell you what's going on with you, which Eov responds to. Eov's response is a massive chiddush. This is where he finally gets to the crux of his matter, and we're going to see a lot about what's happening here. Bildad's response thus becomes very short, and it's almost like the end. Bildad says something, and then Eov responds back. We're going to see. So yes, there are a few chiddushim in what Eov says, but so far it's going to be a little bit more of this. Let's see. The answer over in Amos Vayomar, Lachain, Si'i Pai. This is a weird word over here. Si'i Pai Yeshivuni. I want you to say right now, and this is the idea behind it, it's almost like Sarapai. The branches, my thoughts, like a sith in Shulchan Aruch.
Derayonai, my ideas.
Yeah, the things that come from me, Yeshivuni, I want you to answer me. Bavur Hushi B, because I feel compelled to say something now. Musar Klimasi Ashma, I hear, right, the shame that I'm giving over, the Musar that I'm giving over. Ruach Mibi Nasi Ya'aneini, and a spirit of my understanding from what I understand should answer me. I don't feel like I need something from you. I'm almost saying this rhetorically, said so far, but I'm just telling you, I think that what I'm about to say makes sense. Azosia data mini ad. Do you know this? Mini from time, you know, from before? Mini simaldamai learitz. Is this like something that you've understood from the very, very beginning? So what he's saying right now is almost like, do you think you really understand the world from the very beginning? Ki rinanas rishayim mikarov. In other words, we see the rishayim having this joy in everything, and we see that it's short-lived. Bisimchas chaneif aderaga. We see that the happiness of the hypocrite lasts for a second. So look what happened to you, Eve. You were so happy, you had all these great things, and now this is, because that's what happens to a Russia. What happens to a Russia is they all get punished, and something happens to them, and it's all gone. Then all of a sudden, it's not there. Now, we know that that's not true. Simply put, there are many Rishayim who live tranquil, peaceful lives, and that's the first thing that Eve says back. It's like, what are you talking about? I see Rishayim successful their whole lives, dying in normal ways. But what Sofar is saying is, like, in my worldview, every Russia out there gets punished. And if he's not punished, then he wasn't really a Russia. So the fact that I see you getting punished must mean that you're a Russia. It's sort of like backwards logic, almost. Like, I'm seeing the result of what you have right now, and I'm looking at everyone's result. Depending on what it ends with, that's who they really are. That's Sofar's view of how he's looking at the world. Very simple in such a way. And saying, you're a hypocrite. You act pious. You acted like a tzaddik. You look like a tzaddik. You're not. It's clear. You're not.
It's interesting that he lets everybody finish what they have to say.
And then he goes through.
Like,
so we said last week, I don't think last week we said something interesting. Rav Shah points it out. It seems like there was a crowd here. It seems like this was a public confrontation. It does show out from Eliyahu ben Barkael, who like gets up and is like, I've been listening to this whole thing, and here's my opinion. Eliyahu ben Barkael was not one of the three friends. Where'd he come from? It's almost as if, and I think you said this, Dave, last week, that it was like they were sitting at the Shiva, right? And they were all going through, and they had like a public, I don't know, like a public speech that went out. And that's why last week Eliphaz says, you're convincing these people out here. These people are getting upset. They're hearing what you have to say. They don't know what to say back. It's as if other people are there. Now, we can't say that for sure, but it does seem that way. If so, it makes sense that the speeches were almost
yeah,
like...
Yeah, still, it's, I mean, not for the Eov's show. I mean, uh-huh. If he wants to like start cutting somebody off...
Eov like, speaks a lot more.
No, I know, but it's the response to a full
100%. Out. But he does not... you're right. He does not say anything like that. Im yalo l'shamayim co. If the guy's arrogance, his gaiva, reaches all the way up to the heavens, v'roshal av yagia, and his head reaches up to the crowd, the clouds up there, don't you realize, right, what happens then? Then kegelolo l'netzach. He's kegelolo l'netzach yoved. Like his own dung, he is going to be lost forever. In other words, it's like a sick reference, but like just like when you go to the bathroom, you never want to see your dung ever again. That's what happens to this Rasha as well.
I was flushing the toilet.
And yeah, Roav Yomru Ayo. All of those who saw him say, "Wait, where'd he go? Where'd that guy go?" I remember that guy. You know, on the internet, you quite often you'll see that line of where it says, like, where are they now? Like those 80 stars and the 90 stars. You have no idea. They did that, like, that one big thing, and then they're gone. Kechalom ya'uf. Obviously, we use that in our Unisana Tokif. They're gone like a dream. Fly away, volume to nobody can find them. Yudad kechazion laila. They move away like a vision of the night. Ayin shezofatu. These words. The eye that looked at him, Lo Sisif will no longer be able to. Lo Otish Rena Mikomo. No longer will you be able to realize where his place is and how anything is. And this is the Galgula Chozerbolam. Maybe that's also related to the word Kigalolo. The Galgula Chozerbolam. Some people are up, some people are down. And that's the idea, says so far. Banabiratu Dalam. His sons, right, will appease the poor people. Yavatish Aveno, oh no. And his hands will return all the wealth that he took from other people. Atzmosav, malu alumav, his bones are filled with youthfulness. V'imol aver tishkov, but it will lie with him upon the dust. He doesn't have it. He's going to end up dying or something like that. That's the idea behind it. Now, this is interesting. These are the lines that Rav used to say when they would ride him in the shuk. They would put him on their shoulders and ride him along in the shuk to bring to his speech. He wanted to feel like kegelo netzach yoved. I will never last this way. It was sort of like to keep down his gaiva, I guess. But that's what Rav used to do in order to realize, like, I feel like, you know, this is around here.
Respect, or because he was old and
they did out of respect. No respect. This was not out of elderliness. Although you should know, this was in Bavel, and Rav only came to Bavel when he was older. So it's possible, you know, it was more than just that. But yes, it was definitely out of respect when it came through. Either way, this did, so to speak, happen, he quotes, in Russia in 1917 by the Bolshevik Revolution, when the proletariat, am I pronouncing that correctly, right, seized power and persecuted all capitalists and anyone whose father was not an industrial worker or a farmer. If your father was not a worker, your father was a rich, whatever it was, they took them all and they turned them into slaves and they either killed them or they did whatever it was. That's exactly what they did. So to speak, it's like it'll turn around completely. Those people probably couldn't imagine that something like this would happen. But Banav Yuatu Dam, so that's what it means. Atzmosim Malu Alumav, Imol Ofer Tishkov, and he's just going to lie down in the dust. So it says in Pasuk Yud Beis, Im Tamtik Befiv Ra'ah, if evil was sweet in his mouth, Yachidena Tachs L'Shono, he's got to hide it underneath his tongue. If he felt that it's something there, if you felt you were rich and powerful and it was sweet to you, pleasurable to be that powerful guy telling other people what to do, making sure without impunity that nothing could be there, right? It might have been sweet for you to do that. I'm telling you, it ain't going to work. In the end, something's going to come out and this is it. Yachmul olav, he's got to protect it. The lo ya'azvena, not leave it. He's got to hold it back within his gums. You got to be careful with how you're going to say these things or how you're going to go about it because it's going to come back to bite you. Lachmo b'meyav nepach. The bread that you had in your stomach, it's going to turn around and do you worse. A person who's used to very, very sweet foods who all of a sudden can't have them anymore, we know what happens to that person. Meroras b'sanim b'kerbo. It's as if the bitterness of snake poison is within him. Chayo bola. He swallowed his wealth. The line over here is Kielu, like he's grabbing it away from other people and taking it for himself. Vayikienu. You know what's going to happen? He's going to spit it all out. It's going to destroy, come out. Mibitno from his stomach, Yorishenu El. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will drive it out from him. Rosh B'sanim Yinok. He will suckle the poison of snakes. He'll think, and this is what happens quite often, a guy who's very, very wealthy, who loses his wealth and, you know, stupid, whatever it is, all of a sudden he'll look for a get-rich-quick scheme. He never would have done this when he was wealthy. When he was wealthy, what did he need this for? But all of a sudden, he'll look at a Ponzi scheme or something a little bit crazy, and he'll gamble it away very, very quickly. It's the guys who had a tremendous amount of wealth. All of a sudden, they see themselves losing it. They're left with, Baruch Hashem, $1 million, $2 million, $3 million to go. And they say to themselves, what should I do with this? I want to make it bigger. They take a huge risk, and they lose everything. Lose everything. That means they're suckling the Rosh Pesanim, these snakes. Targeu Lashon Efa, the tongue of the Efe, whatever this is, another type of poisonous snake or whatever it is going to kill him. Al Yere Biflagos Nare Nachle Dvash Vechemo. He will not see all the rivers and the tributaries of honey and butter and everything like that. Meshiv Yoga right? What I guess he's going to return everything that he worked hard for. Below Yivlot, he won't be able to keep it. Kechel Tumuraso, right? His wealth, right? Everything that he had, Tumuraso, he's going to have to trade it in. Below Yalos, he's never going to rejoice over it. Again, this is what's going to happen to the Rasha, right? At the end of days. Kiritzatz Azav Dalim. You know why? Because he smashed and he abandoned the poor people. Because he forgot what it was like to be poor, and he didn't want to. It could even be that he stole from poor people. He was a little shtickle opposite of Robin Hood, right? And gave to the rich. Bayis Gazal V'lo Yivneu. He stole houses and wouldn't build them up. Now we know, I'm sure you can imagine, many, many people who unfortunately made a lot of money off the poor. Took their money and unfortunately took advantage of what the poor people could not afford. Either it's a robber baron, as they called them back in the day, or somebody who just notices that a person needs something, they'll lend money to people and then realize that they can collect something that's a little bit more in value or something that they really want from that guy. These types of ideas, they'll steal a house and not build it back up for that person. They'll give an example. There is a situation that happened in Chicago where a person lent money to a person who had prime real estate. The person had prime real estate. He lent money to that person, wrote in the bottom of the contract a little tiny thing that says, if he does not have the money to pay me back by X date, then I get the property. He did not tell him about it, did not say anything, but the guy signed on the bottom line in the bottom of the contract. At the end of a certain date, the guy waited. I don't want to say Russia. I don't know the whole story. But the guy waited until a day after the contract was over. The guy didn't give him the money. Took him to court. The guy took away the property and used the property for himself. Made an unbelievable building. The other guy totally messed over. Completely messed over. He lost everything. He didn't read the contract correctly. So obviously it's his fault in that way. But he trusted the guy. And the guy took advantage of it. By his gazal, you steal a house, a loyev name. You don't build up anything.
And read the contract before saying.
Now, you are 100% right. And you know, I'm looking at it more of like the guy did it because he knew the other guy wouldn't read the contract. It was the guy's fault.
The guy was struggling, and the guy who was struggling thought that the guy who was giving him the contract was trying to help him out.
Mm-hmm. He just took advantage.
It was a nice thing to do. Yeah.
Says the lawyer. See, this is the lawyer among us. I 100% agree.
Obviously, he was irresponsible with the contract.
Yeah, there's no question. Just somebody normally would say something right before. You should know. Maybe you should try to get a loan because if you don't pay me back by this date, then this is what's going to happen. And it did. It's a horrible situation. People forget about it. It happened about 10 years ago, but it happened here in Chicago. It's a horrible, horrible situation. David, you remember it. But he lo yada shalei bivit no, right? He never knew satisfaction in his belly. He really didn't. This Russia was always thinking, uh-oh, what's going to happen? Bechamuda lo yimaleit. All of this that he never could save anything. And that's the problem. This guy kept, even the Russian, this is what so far is saying, a Russian knows he ain't going to keep it. He knows it's going away soon. So he's trying to take advantage of it while he has it, but he's like, what can I do? How do I save it? And whatever. Ein sorid la'achlo. None of his food was left over. Al-kein lo yachol tuvo. And therefore, he never hoped for anything good. Bimlos sifko yetzer lo. When he fully satiated what he had, his desires and everything he had, kol yad amel, right? Kol yad amel tuvoenu. Now, all of a sudden, the hands of the people that he exploited will come back upon him. And he knows this. He realizes at the end of the day, this is not going to work for me. No. There will be a burning anger. There will be a burning anger up against him, and it's going to happen because he angered so many people. It will rain upon him as his food, as his money was raining upon him. It's going to go up against him, and it's going to be bad. Yivrach mineshek barzel. He might escape the iron weapon. Maybe he won't be killed. Tachlefeu keshes nechusha, but instead it's going to be the copper bow that's going to go against him. In other words, even if he's able to escape one problem, that one thing that'll come up, something else is going to come up over here. Shalav bayetze. So what does he do? He drew it, came out, migeva from its sheath. Uvarak mimoro rasso yaloch alav enim. And then the flash of the poison blade comes up against him. He thought like, oh, I can stay away from that. And then somebody comes from the side. Kol choshech tamun. All the darkness is hidden. Litzbunav to achleyu esh. His treasures are eaten by a fire. It feels like it's consumed by a fire. Lo nupach, that was never blown. He didn't blow it himself. He didn't, bellow it? Yeras sarid ba'alo. The remnant in his tent is going to be gone. Everything is going to be gone over here. And he says, again, this is maybe a reference to how the Malach HaMavis is going to kill him. possibly a reference to the Malachim Avos. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Chaf, goes through what happens to a person at the end of his life and how it happens. So to speak, the Malachim Avos unsheaths his sword and a little bit of gall or some type of whatever it is drops down into the person's mouth, and that's how a person rots, that's how a person goes bad, whatever it is. And then his soul is brought up for judgment and is brought into darkness and is thrown down to the levels of Gehenna. All of this is a reference in this pasuk of where he takes it out, the sheath from the sword. There's a bitterness that comes from the sword. It goes upon him and makes him terrified of what's going to be. There's a darkness there. He's eaten by fire of the Gehenna itself. Now, it's as a side note, by the way, there is a famous Rav Dessler and how the fires of Gehenna work and why we describe it as a fire when clearly it's a spiritual undertaking. It has nothing to do with something physical. We know that there's a physical Gan Eden, because that's where Adam Rishon was. We don't know of a physical Gehenna, like what we call like the opening beneath our feet. The references that we have by Avshalom, that he was caught by the hair and he saw Gehenna opening up beneath his feet. We don't know exactly what that means. We don't know. This is somehow a purification process. Hopefully, if the neshama needs a purification process by going through the fires of Gehenna, those fires do not consume everything. That there will be a remnant of the neshama left to enjoy, savor what it gets in Olam Haba. But it does happen. There's a possibility that it's in there for so long in the fires of Gehenna that the neshama loses everything there, and all it is ashes that become the dust of the feet of the tzaddikim in Olam Haba. He no longer is able to enjoy that. Now again, when it comes to Schar Va'onesh, this is a little bit beyond what we understand, but the concept is similar to washing a garment. That if you wash the garment so much of its soil and whatever it is, you end up with nothing. You get just little bits and rags and pieces left. There's absolutely nothing left. If it's that disgusting, it's there. That's supposed to be the concept of what Gehenna is, although that's not a great, you know, again, it's a physical idea. But Yigalu Shamayim Avono. His crime will be revealed by the heavens. People will see exactly what he did. And that possibly is also a reference to what happens in Olam Haba, where they play a video of your life, showing everyone what you did in all of your glory, going through everything. It's got to be scary, showing your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, everybody's sitting there, and they're just like, hey, welcome, let's go watch the movie. And they go in to watch the movie together, and all of a sudden they're just like, you did that?
You thought that even, right?
Right, right. The thoughts are inside there as well. It's the scariest thing in the world. There's nothing that scares me. Nothing that scares me. Oh, I don't know. Things scare me. Snakes. The Eretz Miskoma Malay. The earth will rise up against them. The whole people, all the people of earth are going to be like, what? He did that? You did that? I never thought that. That's what happens. Yigel Yavul Beso. The produce of his house all goes away. Nigaros Biomapo. They're going to flow away on the day of God's anger. Zechelik Adam Rasham Elokim. That's the chelik. That's the portion that a guy, a Rasha, gets from HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'nachlas Imro Me'el. And the inheritance of his words that God gives him. That's what Sofar says to Eov. See, Eov, you're a Rasha Gomer, because this is what's happening to you now. It's clear as day to me. Says so far that this is the result of what happens to a person. That I'm done. So that's all I wanted to say. Now, it's absolutely crazy over here, but Eov goes down over here. It's possible that Sofar's description, first of all, everybody agrees, Sofar's description is not borne out by fact. We see in our world Rishayim that do not have that ultimate punishment at the end. We know that. Sofar is, well, then that guy's not a Rasha. Okay, I know personally that this guy is a Rasha. I know, and yet he lives a really tranquil, good life. I'm not saying what's going on inside.
I mean,
expectation-wise?
Really, God knows.
Okay, then you're right. It's possible that it goes that way. Eo's flying back, and I guess what we say, yeah, we're looking at something. It doesn't seem that it always happens the way. Of course, it does happen the way that Sofer says it sometimes, like a Mussolini or a Hitler, Yamach Shemo, right? We do see extremely evil people that are punished in the way that they deserve to be punished. Perhaps Saddam Hussein or a Gaddafi. Maybe that's the way. But nonetheless,
Hitler
we see other
himself.
People. I'm sorry?
Hitler killed himself.
That's what it seems, right? Unless he was trapped in the, I don't know. Yeah, trapped in the bunker, however it is. But the main thrust of what he was saying is that this is the fate of all Rishayim, Eov, and that's why this is happening to you, to which Eov is going to answer back and say, not always. I don't see that. And Eov goes on and says, this is what I'm seeing with my eyes, and you correct me if I'm wrong. Vayani Vayomar, here's what it says in Chav Aleph, Shimu Shamoa, listen please, Milasi, to what I'm going to say, to use those Tanchum Oseichem, and maybe this will be what comforts me for right now. Sa'uni Va'anochi Adaber, bear with me, I want to speak. The Achadabri Talig, and afterward, you can ridicule me. I give you permission, because you've done it up until now, so you might as well keep going.
Tanachumotechan means your comfort.
The comfort that you should be giving me. Oh. That's what he's trying to say. Hanochi la'adam sichi, right? Is my speech, am I speaking to a human being? Do you really think I'm talking to you guys? Do you really think I want your response? Imadua lo siktaruchi, right? So, shouldn't I become impatient? Should I be totally impatient with what you guys are saying over here? Pinuei lai v'ashamu, I want you to turn to me so that you'll be shocked. I want you to put your hand on your mouth, like, oh, I can't believe it, or something like that. Whenever I think of this, I become very confused. Everything that I've been saying, I become confused. My flesh is gripped by a trembling. I don't know what to do. Then why is it, according to what you're saying, that Rishayim live? They become wealthy, they grow old even, and they even get lots of riches. It doesn't make any sense to me. The way you're saying it, they should all be Rishayim, they should all die. That's what should happen. Zarm nachon lefneim, imam, their children seem like really good people in front of them. Tetzaim leinim, they see grandchildren. Bateim shalom yipachat, their houses seem tranquil from fear. Lo shevet lo aleim, there is no rod of God upon them, nothing is happening. Shoro ibar velo yagil, their oxen become pregnant. They don't, miscarriage. I don't know what it's called by an ox. Tefale parasol tshakel, right? The cows bring forth. They don't have a miscarriage. Yishalcho katzon avilehem. They send forth their own young, right? Like a flock of sheep. V'aldam yirakedun. Their children are dancing in the streets. I see happiness by these guys. Yisu ksofikino, or they carry the drums and the harps. Yismuchu l'kolugav. They dance. They make merry according to the kol of the ugav. I think that's a trumpet of some sort. He says over here, the flute. Their whole days end in happiness. That's what it seems. And in one moment, they go down to the grave. It's not like they had a long sickness or something that's evil where they get like this long tsaras process like what I have right now. I just don't see it. I don't see that you're right. I don't see that happening. You know what they say to God? Stay away from us. They say to God, stay away from us. We don't want to know your ways. I've said this before in Musa Shemuz, and it's like an obvious, like we think to ourselves that if only God would not do anything, then everything will work out okay. It's when God gets involved that everything gets messed up. I saved my money. I did everything I was supposed to do. I have everything like set. But God caused the stock market crash. God caused my bank to lose all its money. God caused this, whatever it is. So it's God. It's like, God, why do you do this to me? It's that the bad is based on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The good is because I was able to do it. I saved. I did this. I was able to do that. That's happening. So they say to God, Surim Benu, do me a favor, God. Just don't get involved and I can take care of myself. If you don't do anything to me, I'll be able to take care of myself. I don't need you. I'm perfectly fine. And that's what the Russia is saying. The Russia has no need for godly intervention, for hashkacha pratis. He doesn't need it. Masha dai kinavdenu. Who is God? What is God that we should serve him? Umano kinif gobo. What help is there going to be if we pray to him? Listen, I'm doing pretty good without praying to him, right? What's the point of praying? Go up to a guy. It's unfortunate, but you want to get people to become balei tshuva. It's not always, but quite often, it's a person who's lost. Physically, spiritually, whatever, but like the guy doesn't have anything or whatever it is. So the guys who are usually impressed, try to go up to a very wealthy person who seems to be good and say, daven to God, because if you don't, you won't get parnasa. What do you mean? I've never davened a day in my life and I have tons of parnasa. That doesn't make any sense. It's difficult to talk to a person like that. And you tell them, they're just like, no, what do you mean? I went to school, I went to a master's program, I have a job now that pays me $250,000, that's because I did it. That's not because I prayed to God. I didn't pray to God once.
So maybe you'd be making $500,000 a year.
That's the line. But it's so unconvincing to many people. It's convincing to a person who's like, making $23,000, right, at Walmart. And you say to him, if you pray, then you'll gain, you'll grow, you'll be able to do something. Then it's convincing. Okay, well, I can't go any less. So I might as well try. Why can't I try it? But a guy who's already making the money, I'm not saying it never happens, but quite often they don't get it. They don't get it. Maybe if the person is making $250,000 and he missed out on a promotion, you go up to him, had you davened, you would have gotten that promotion. I'm not making fun of it.
He's down because he missed out on a promotion.
Exactly. It's because of that. He says, Mashate kinyavdenu, what's the point? What is the point about this over here? This is their life plan. They have everything done. They have everything down what they want to do, and that's that. Hein lo biyadam tuvam. Isn't it true? And don't you see that their goodness is in their own hands? It's because they've done it. Atzas Rishayim Rachakemeni. The plans of the Rishayim are far from me. I don't get it. I don't understand it, says Eov. I just don't get what God is doing here. Kama ner Rishayim. How often do we see the light of the Rishayim Yidach? It just extinguishes. How often does that happen? How often do you see? You see these houses all the way out there? There are tons and tons of wealthy people who are bad people. And they're
not
that. You're right. But Eov is claiming this. Right? And he's saying, I see it. And it's not. V'yavo aleim oedam. Their time is supposed to come upon them. Chavalim yechalek ba'apo. He's supposed to give them pain in his time of anger. But it doesn't happen. You could have them lifnei ruach. They should be like straw in front of the wind. Kamotz k'navatu suva. Right? They should be like chaff that is stolen by the storm. I just don't get it, but it's not. Eloah yitzbon levon of ono. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reserves the punishment for who? For his children? The people who listen to him? That's Yishalamei Lo V'Yedah. They're going to pay it back for him, right? So that he'll know. So that doesn't make any sense. He should punish all those other people who aren't paying attention and the people that are paying attention. Even if we mess up, we should be ultimately rewarded and only get reward and nothing else because at least we're paying attention. They're not. So why shouldn't it be that way? Yiruenav Kido. So his eyes, I guess you could say, will see his spear. Kido, not Kiyado, but Kido. They drink from the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are the people that are the closest to God. What interest does he have in his house? After him. Right? In all, I guess, say the number of months, when the number of months have ended and he's done with everything that he needed from it. Right? And every, so to speak, as if the human life is gone. Halael. Yilame Das. So he says, do you have to teach knowledge to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is this something that God didn't get? All of a sudden I'm saying this, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like, all right, I should have taken care of this. That's smart. Why don't I reward the people that are paying attention to me and punish all the people that are not? Is that like something that God didn't get? V'uramim yishpot. He should judge on high, and he knows what he's doing. So how come this is happening? Z'yamos be'etzem tumo. This one dies at the height of his perfection. I see people dying when they're unbelievable tzaddikim. Unbelievable tzaddikim. A Ramah dying at the age of 39, and Arizal dying at the age of 37. Do you really think that they're dying because of sins that they did? Is that it? Kula shalanan v'shalev. At a time when they should be content and tranquil. Atinov, you could also learn it the other way, by the way, that the Russia is dying at the height of his perfection. Everything's all good, and then he just dies. You know, it's not like a bad thing. He dies at the end when everything seems to be well, surrounded by his family and kids, all of his riches are intact, then he just dies. Atinov, all of his pains, malukhalov, filled with milk, mochats most of yishukeh, the... I guess you could say his bones are saturated with marrow. I guess he's filled with whatever he needs. V'zeyamus b'nefesh mara. And then the other guy, he dies with a bitter soul. Lo achal b'teiva, he never ate anything good. Yachad alafra yishkavu. Together, they lay upon the dirt. V'rima t'chasa aleim. And you see worms covering upon them. Now remember, at this point, Eov has despaired of t'chias ha'mesim. There is no t'chias ha'mesim. There is no olam haba. He doesn't believe in that. So he sees, he's like, this guy and this guy, now what's happening? I know what you're thinking. I see what you're attributing back to me. You're saying to me, I'm just like, whoa, only a Russia would think that way. Only a Russia would say that way. If you ask me, where is the house of the nobleman? Right, of the Nadiv. Where is the tent of the dwelling places of the wicked itself? Didn't you ask the people who travel the road? You can't estrange yourself from the signs itself. In other words, you have to concede at least a little bit to me on this point over here. Don't you see? Like, if you ask about a certain Russia, you see what happened. You ask about a certain Tzadik, is that? On the day evil seems to be restrained, right? On the day where everybody else is punished. Liom avaros yuvalu, right? It seems like on the day of fury, it's everybody else who's brought forth, but not from anybody else. It seems that everything is reserved to something else, but it's not happening in the world in front of us. And you, again, so far, you said it's happening in this world. I just don't see it. I don't see it that way. He says, Miyagid alpanav darko. Who is going to talk to a person about his path? Who asa miyashalom lo? And he is doing it. Who's going to punish him for what he has actually done? Behu, likvaros yival, he'll be brought to the cemetery. Val gadish yishkoid, he'll be permanently interred and, you know, brought down into a pile of rocks. Musku lo rigvei nachal, the mud clods of the valley, they're sweet. They become sweet to him because now he has his ultimate rest. V'achro kol adam yimshoch, people go after him. There are people that follow. L'fanav emispor, and before him, this has happened many, many times. V'echtenachamuni havel, how could you possibly console me with such garbage? Telling me that, don't worry, the Russia is going to have a horrible time at the very end. Shuvosam nishar mo'al, while your answers remain unfaithful to the truth that I'm seeing myself. I just don't see it. I'm so sorry, but I don't see it. So I think that's it. Now, it could very well be. Again, it seems like it's there. It seems that so far, heard this from Eov and said, you know what? He's right. It could be, because Sofar does not speak for the rest of the Sefer. He's done. Eliphaz speaks a third time. Bildad is going to speak a third time, very short. But Sofar is done. He's completely done. It could very well be that Sofar heard what Eov was saying, and he said, huh, you know, okay, and that's that. Now, in the answer, and I thought of something else, Benjamin, what you said before, how do we know? Let's say, and I know there are people like this, a person admits to wrongdoing that he's done, but doesn't do tshuva for it. He doesn't feel bad for it. Eish Hashish, let's say, which is still usher by a non-Jew, right? Or Avodah Zarah, which is still usher by a non-Jew. Shvichas Damim, and he doesn't feel bad about it, right? There are people who are guilty of all three things, and yet they still, obviously there are people that get punished for it, etc., but there are other people that are not. I'm not going to give this as an example, but the basic idea, a Ray Lewis type character. Person who basically admitted his wrongdoing in murdering a human being, right?
That's a bit of a question. He wouldn't have dropped the charges.
It's a little bit different because he was part of the gang or whatever and enlisted whatever it is, and we see the evil that, you know, that what's with him now? He's like one of the most successful football players. How many players are like this? He retires after winning the Super Bowl, becomes an immediate millionaire working for, you know, whatever it is, for an organization. Right, we're dealing with a person, you're right, I don't want to say evil, but if he did what everybody thinks he did, which he seems to have said outright in court, but somehow got a plea bargain deal or whatever it is, you're dealing with that. They dropped
plea
everything?
Plea bargain, he would have pled guilty or something.
Maybe you're right. I think he did plead. He didn't plead guilty originally? I thought it was. I don't remember.
And the whole thing, but in the end,
I don't remember. Believe that. Yeah, whatever it is. But yeah. But, also, but I give him as an example.
You were talking. Yeah. Well, you can take somebody who's, you know, somebody who actually did commit murder, for example. Like you said, you know, adultery and adultery are usher by a non-Jew. But like even the Gemara says, the only one that's a svara is murder, because who says your blood is redder than mine, or whatever it is, meaning that we know that, you know, no person has any, you know, any conscience would know that murder's wrong.
No, of course,
You could justify adultery, justify idolatry even, and say, like, well, you know, what's the big deal? But, okay, fine, so maybe somebody who murders somebody in cold blood.
But that, no right reason, there.
We
do see it.
Right.
And that's what Eve is saying. Eve is saying, according to you so far, your worldview is that those people must be punished at the end of their life. But I know people that that's not true by. I just know it. I know there are people like that. People that have admitted their rishis to me, who have told me that they're rishayim, have not done tshuva, and look at them. And look at them. They brag about how evil they are. And nonetheless, they go ahead. I've seen people who have stolen for a living. Look at them.
Somebody who brags, somebody who admits to doing something, somebody who brags about anything that they know to be wrong.
And right there, and that you have says, I know they haven't been punished. Agreed. But nonetheless, I see that they're not there. So now Eliphaz gives his last speech. It's short, but nonetheless, he looks up, Ayana Eliphaz Timani Vayomar, that he said over to Eov, Hala Eli's Gungever. Do you think God needs you to tell him what to do? And again, it's the same basic line. Ki yizkan aleimu maskil, as does a teacher of wisdom, as if you need to go through. But here he gets into something good. He says like this. He says, Acheifetz l'shadei kisitzdok. Do you need to justify yourself in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Do you think God needs your justification over here? Bim betza ki techam tachim dorechecha. Is there any point, is there any profit that you're showing your perfection? There is no need to do this anymore. Eov, come on. Say, there has to be something you did wrong. And of course, Eov did do things wrong. He just felt that they weren't enough to warrant this type of punishment. So he said, what Eliphaz is now telling him, don't concentrate on all the good you've done or the good thoughts you have or anything like that. Concentrate on the little bit of bad. Maybe he is punishing you for that little bit of bad, and speak about that bad. That's what I want you to do. Hami yoroska yochichecha. Is he trying from your fear or whatever it is? Is it because of your lack of fear, yochichecha, that he's giving you mosar yabon chaba mishpat, that he's bringing you to justice? Halo ra'oska rabba. Your evil is increasing. It's getting worse. It's getting worse as time is going on, he's telling Eov. I'm seeing it little by little. Each speech you're giving, it's getting worse. The Enkeitz Lavan Osecha. And now there's no number to the amount of sins that you have. So granted, up until this point, maybe it's been hard. Maybe you should start thinking about how much. And the truth is, that was kind of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to do. He wanted Eov to say, okay, God has his reasons, and just accept it. That is what he wanted him to do. And Eov didn't do so. I'm not judging. This is not a question of judgment. I've never been through the Yisurin that Eov has been through. through. I just, there's no way to do that. But maybe that is what he's trying to do. But he says, Kisach bo'achecho chinam. Now all of a sudden, you're taking a pledge for your brother from your brother for nothing. Uvigdei arumim tafshit. And I'll tell you something else. It could be that Eliphaz knew these things and was holding back. Similar to the Gemara with Rav Huna. Rav Huna, the Gemara, what is it, Brachos? 400 barrels of wine went bad. So they came to Rav Huna and they said, go look at your deeds. And Rav Huna said, what are you telling me? Like the friends of Yehov, that's what you're telling me? To which they said to him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do anything without a reason. So Rav Huna said, if you guys know anything, tell me. And they said, well, you didn't give your sharecropper his proper pay in the wood of your field. To which Rav Huna said, but he stole money from me, and I kept this from him so that I could be paid back for what he stole from me. So that's what I did. To which they said, that's what it means, Basar Ganva, Asur Ganav. After a Ganav comes another Ganav. So if someone said, you're right, I'll give it back to that guy, then whatever it is. Apparently, you owed the money, right? You owed the money.
He owes me money.
Even though he owed you money, so give him the money and then take him to court. Go take him to court. You feel he did something to you, go take him to court.
Yeah, right, but that's such a pain in the neck to go
to
court.
I totally hear you. I totally hear you. On a level of Rav Huna, I guess he was supposed to take him to court. And
so
I don't know.
Is that the din?
No, that's a great question. I think that's more lifnim yeshur said din. But on Rav Huna's level, he got punished for it. His wine turned into vinegar for it. He felt like, you're right, I'll do that. And that's what the rabbis came to him to tell him. So now Eliphaz is going to tell him, you know what? I'm going to tell you what you did. This is what I'm going to tell you right now. He says, Kisach bol achecho. You have taken, I guess you've taken a pledge, a security pledge for a loan from your brother, chinam. And you took it for free. You were just like, hey, listen, I would do it. I'll just take this just in case. And later on, when you wanted the money back and you didn't get it, you stripped them naked of all of their clothing. You would not offer water enough to the people who were thirsty. You held back bread from the people that were hungry. Again, it's possible that Eliphaz knew of specific cases. People have come to you and you said, no, I'm not blaming you. Again, a guy comes to you in the middle of shoal while you're in the midst of davening and he says he wants money from you. Right? It's difficult to be able to pull out. You're just not in the mood or whatever it is. It could be that Eov one time didn't give money to somebody.
He saying things that he knew to be true or we saying, don't know. Suggesting things saying. That like, oh, it must have been this because
so
that fits the crime
we don't
or
know.
The punishment.
Eliphaz was one of his good friends, but yes, it seems that he's doing a midik negin midah thing. Now you need bread. Now you need water and no one's have mercy on you.
Why didn't
yeah.
they just lead with this?
I think he was, just like Rav Huna. They said, go look at your deeds. And then Rav Huna said, do you
let
know what I've done,
himself,
so to speak?
Like,
yeah.
Right, well,
and here, Eov is not saying it. So Eliphaz is finally so fed up. He's like, all right, I'll tell you. I'll tell you what I know about you. I don't know. I absolutely don't know. V'ish zroa lo ha'aretz, right? So we say, you were a man of power. The land was yours. You owned the land. When it's supanim yeshev ba, the people who were, you know, highly regarded, they're the ones who lived in it. And you were happy with those guys. You, like, hung out with those guys. Alma nois shilach tarekam. You sent away widows for nothing. Rav Hirsch says an amazing thing about the word almana. You know where the word almana comes from? The word comes from the word elaim, as in mute. No one speaks up for the widow. No one has a mouth to speak for her.
From the word mana, meaning she's worth one mana instead of two.
So that is the line from Ksuvis. In Ksuvis,
right.
It says that it's el mana, right? But he says it's really from the word elaim, and that's where it comes from. Uzroz yisumim yiduke, right? And you, the orphans, you crushed the arms of the orphans. You didn't allow them to take what they could take. Al kensu yosech pachim. And therefore, you're surrounded by traps. Yiv helcha pachat pisom. You're shocked by this sudden fear that's coming upon you, right? Or darkness, which you didn't see. And the powerful stream of water has covered you. Don't you know that God is in the heavens? He sees all. He sees the top of the stars that are upon high. What you said to yourself when you did all these things, you said, God does not know. Hav'ad arafel yishbot. Can God truly judge through the clouds themselves? There's no way. But he really said, your mida k'neged mida, he said to Eov, is because you thought that God wasn't paying attention. You didn't think anything was going to happen. That's what happened. Your once proud stature is gone. You no longer have what you were supposed to have anymore. Avim seser lo. You thought the clouds hid God, below you read that he wouldn't see. Chuk shemayim yisalach. He walks about in the circles of the heavens, but has nothing to do with the land. Ha'orach olam tishmor. Do you think the path of old will be kept? Asher dorchum iseyavin, that all the people right around, don't you see the Mephoshim say that there's a reference to the Dor HaMabul? Don't you see what happened to the Dor HaMabul? The Dor HaMabul thought that God wasn't paying attention. And look what happened to them. Totally destroyed, taken out from the world. Asher kumtu velo es. What does it mean? They shriveled up before their time. Nor yutzak yisodom. They were swept away by a big river. Obviously, more than that, the Mabul itself. But swept away. Ha omrim la'el sur mimenu. Those who said to God, turn away from us. Umma yifal shaddai lama. What can God actually do to them? V'umali batam tov. God had given them tons of good. Those people were filled with good. V'atz rishayim rachak ameni. And I understand. I don't understand the eights of the rishayim as well. That's like a direct quote from Eov itself. Yirut tzadikim yismachu. The righteous saw it, they rejoiced. V'naki laglamo, the people who were cleansed of sin, they made fun of them. They saw exactly what it was. It's almost like, you know, they saw it, the Noach and the people in there, and they realized, thank God, we're being rewarded. Im lo nichgad kimanu. It said, is it not true that the existence eventually was cut off? Don't you see what happened by the Mabul? The Yisrael Machlaish, that what was left of them was consumed by fire? And that was immediate Keneged Mita. Everything was immediate. They did something, and here was the punishment. You did the same. Haskin Naimo, deal with what God has given you. Ushlam Behem, make peace with what you've done. Tvo Askla Tova, and then I promise you good will come to you. I've told you what you've done. I told you that you did wrong. Maybe you don't feel it was enough to deserve or warrant the punishment that you got, but I'm telling you, this is what you got, and I'm finding it as mida keneged mida. Kach na mipiv Torah. Now again, this is not Torah as in Torah, right? Because they weren't learning Torah, especially if they weren't Jewish. But now take a lesson from my mouth over here. V'sima marav b'levecha. Take the words into your heart. Im tashuv ad shaddai tibaneh. If you do return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you'll be built up again. Tarchik avla me'alecha. You'll be able to distance all of these sins from your tent, and nothing bad will happen to you ever again. If you accept it upon yourself, v'shisal afer batzer, you'll be able to throw your treasures upon the dust, v'tzur nechalim ofir, you'll take the gold from Ophir, that's from famous, from Shlomo Melech, I guess Ophir was a well-known place that was known for gold. I've always heard that Ophir was a reference to South America, to the gold of the Aztecs and the Mayans and etc. I think it's more likely that it's Africa. But either way, but you'll have rivers filled with this gold. Vayashadai v'tzarecha, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu will help you. Keset tuafos loch, the silver will be mounds in front of you. Ki oz al shadai tizanog, you will be able to have pleasure with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'sisa alo apanecha, you'll be able to lift your face to God. Tatar love, you'll be able to daven to Him. V'yishma eka, God will listen to you. Nadorecha sishalein, and your promises, all of your vows, He will fulfill. V'tigzar oimer, you'll be able to make decrees, and it'll be established for you. You should know, by the way, this is the famous line, that Hashem makes a decree. A tzaddik has the ability to supersede that decree. Once you make tigzar omer, all of a sudden, it'll happen. And in all of your paths, there will be a light that shines completely through it. So Rav Schwab gives a very, very interesting story that he said happened to him itself. So for Vatigzo Omer Vayakim Loch, 23 years ago, this is in 1951, he says. He witnessed an example. He said a childless couple from Bnei Brak was sent to Baltimore by the Chazon Ish to receive certain infertility treatments and whatever it is at the world-renowned Johns Hopkins University, whatever it is, right? So after examining, the specialist said it was physically impossible for her to have children, especially with the medicine they had at the time. This is in 1951, right? Because she had two uteri and it just wasn't going to happen. So that's what he told her. He said, he pointed the palm of his hands and said, just like no hair can come out from here, there's no way for you to have a living child. There's no way it's going to happen. Which obviously was not the nicest thing in the world to say, but that's
the
that.
The truth is the truth.
The father sent a letter to the Chazon Ish telling him what had happened. 1951, right? It was very difficult for them to go back to Eretz Yisrael. No, unfortunately. Not until 1952. Until 1952. Yeah. He had a cell phone, though. I don't know why he didn't call. But right afterward, he told over to Rav Schwab the answer that the Chazon Ish gave. Okay, the Chazon Ish says, Yishoyer ba'America ad shiyia lo ben kayama. Stay in America until you have a living child. That's what he told him. And he signed it, Avram Yeshaya, with the Ish. That's where the Chazon Ish, that's where it came from, right? So the couple kept going until they found a doctor who was a woman. That already in 1951, a woman doctor. I'm not so sure how many there were, right? But either way, but found, she said she could help him. The wife conceived, and she was ordered by the doctor that she had to stay in bed for 9 months straight. All the 9 months of pregnancy, she had to be in bed itself. Miraculously, she carried a child to full term. She converted to a healthy baby boy. So right after that, Rav Schwab said, I had the great schus to visit the Chazon Ish in Bnei Brak. I told him that I gave him regards from this certain person, the father of the baby, and he said the baby was born and everything was fine, and the Chazon Ish smiled knowingly. He said, I know. He said, the decree of the Chazon Ish remained fulfilled. He said, the couple remained. The boy is a student in Yeshivas Ner Yisrael in Baltimore. He said, I feel that that's v'tigzer omer v'yakim lach. That was the idea
so
that Rav Schwab was saying.
What?
I know, 1950. Well, no, 1951. And he said, 23 years ago, so that would have been 1974. He was a bacher in Ner Yisrael in 1974, right? So right now, he would have been what? He would have been.
60s.
Yeah, he would be in his 60s right now. He's still alive today.
Call up Ner Yisrael.
Yeah, Ner Yisrael, there's a guy here, born from Chazon Ish. All right, so let's finish off this paragraph, guys. Ki ishbilu, if they lower you, vatomer geva, you should say, be strong. V'shachanem Yoshia, he helps those who have lowered their eyes. Just give in a little bit, he told them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you. Malait inaki, he will, the non-innocent will be able to escape in nimlat devor kapecha. They will escape by the purity of your hands, by feeling like there's something there. There's a question of how to read this pasuk. The Ibn Ezra says inaki is really an ishnaki. We know that efshar is impossible, not possible. Here, inaki would be somebody who's not cleansed. Here, says the Ibn Ezra, inaki means ishnaki, a tzaddik. Right, will be saved, and he'll be able to come out. But that's that. That's what Eliphaz told him the third time, and he said, "Listen, I'm just telling you, just one little thing. I think I know what you did wrong. Here's what you did. Please, just admit that you did something wrong." And guess what Eliphaz says?
I didn't do any of that.
Nope. No, I did not. No, I did not. And then he's going to go on for the next two prok, and he's going to explain. And then Bildad says his short speech,
Rashi,
and that's
says
when
Enaki is Enaki.
Einaki, yeah, that's the other way of learning up this pasuk. That's that.
But that means, wait, somebody who is unclean, meaning somebody who has sins, is going to run away.
So I don't know how to see, word it exactly. You'd have to see it. Where is it?
Those who are not innocent.
Which, in the merit of the tzaddikim, God also saves those who are not pure. You'll be able to help others if you go through there. Okay, that's not bad. It could be. It could be that Eliphaz is talking about himself, right? Mm-hmm. Eliphaz is put into Musar, but because Eov accepted it, everything was all good. Anyway, we're going to come to Bildad, and then comes the final speech of Eov, which leads into Eliub and Barkael speaking, and then finally HaKadosh Baruch Hu getting involved. Shkoyah, guys, we'll stop with that.